Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Good morning, Dr. Cole. How are you?
Very well, Dr. Cathy and Dr. Simon. But I should point out sometimes the answer is, I don't know.
Well, actually, yes. I don't know is also an answer. Just a thought.
Okay, what have you got for us? Lay it on us, Dr. Cathy.
Okay, so some of our listener questions. Please ask Dr. Cole why birds sing in the morning. I've just been outside and the dawn chorus is very loud. That's the question.
Why do they sing in the morning?
Yes.
Well, they have a language. Yeah, well, they sing at all times. And your typical chicken has a vocabulary of about 20 words. And one of the words I'm going to do for you now, which is... And that word means intruder approaching at ground level.
Oh my gosh.
There's a different word for an intruder coming flying. And so in the beginning of the day, there's a whole bunch of things that they do, including setting up the boundaries. Who's alive today? What are we going to do today? Is everybody well? So some birds, for example, in Australia, have an entry pass. And so there's all these magpies, we call them, in a tree. And if another magpie wants to join them, what it has to do is dive down to the ground, pick up the magic stick, fly up into the air, and then drop it. And then the other birds know that it's part of the in crowd, and then they let it land without attacking it. So as part of their being a family group of intelligent creatures, up there with dogs.
That's absolutely fascinating. And you did that chicken so well.
Well, that's years of practice. Thank you.
If you decided to give up your day job, you know, I'm just saying. Dr. Cole, another message that's come through from one of our listeners. Why can't we recapture the carbon which is causing global warming? I think that is a brilliant question. That's from M.
Well, we can. I've written a book on this called Dr. Carl's Little Book of Climate Change Science. But the best way for you to get information for your geographical location is to go to the website called... drawdown.org, drawdown.org. And here's the bottom line. We can both stop climate change and the rising carbon dioxide levels. We can both stop and even reverse it with the technologies we have today. We do not need to have any new technologies. Rather, we need to have new decisions by the politicians who have been, let me say gently, strongly influenced by the $1 billion a year of disinformation that the fossil fuel companies have been doing over the last 30 years. So it is messier to put the carbon into the air and then draw it back simply because of the energetics. Here is the equation. Now, I'm going to give you a chemistry equation from way back. Are you ready for this, Dr. Cathy, Dr. Simon?
I think we're ready. Right, Simon. Are you right? Okay. Are you ready to write this down,
yep.
Simon?
Okay, here it comes. Carbon plus oxygen gives you carbon dioxide plus a huge amount of energy. So if you've got the carbon dioxide in the air and you want to get it back into carbon by brute force, you have to put in more energy than was released.
Ah.
That's the laws of thermodynamics. So you're better off going to zero carbon emissions. And we can go to zero carbon emissions for electricity and heating within about 10 years. That's about one-third of the world's carbon emissions. For concrete and steel, each about 8% of the world's emissions within 10 years. For transport in 15 years, and for agriculture in about 15 to 20 years.
Gimple's asked us a question.
Oh, that's not fair.
Mm-hmm. That's from his daughter. Oh, you want to ask her?
No, it's a hectic question. I just don't think Dr. Cole signed up for this, but let's see.
Well, Dr. Cole is Dr. Cole. He answers any questions, and sometimes I don't know is also an answer. Gimple says, my daughter is asking a hard one. Who created God?
The first thing you've got to realize is this. There is one system of thinking called science, which relies 100% on provability and zero faith. And there's a completely different system called faith or religion, which relies 100% on faith and zero on proof.
So they don't talk to each other.
They don't talk to each other, but they can exist in the same brain. So at our School of Physics at the University of Sydney, one of the top people on relativity in the entire Southern Hemisphere is also a minister of religion. And they both exist inside the same head. So when you're talking matters of religion, science doesn't really have anything to say because it doesn't deal with faith, only with stuff that's provable, and it's never been able to be proved yet that God exists. But whether you believe in it, that's a different thing entirely, and can give many people great comfort.
Absolutely. All right. So, last question. Apparently, artificial intelligence, AI, can look at plain X-rays and diagnose the self-reported race of the individual. And nobody knows how AI, what it's reading in order to work out what the race or the racial profile of that person is. What's going on with that? That's quite scary.
It is scary because you can. It took a big study over many years around the world, and we're dealing here with self-reported race. So you'd be dealing with people as different as Japanese or Kalahari Bush person who's quite short, or Pacific South Sea Islander who's quite tall, or a blonde, pale-skinned Scandinavian, and so forth. And these are self-described descriptors, and the AI can pick the race of the person as they describe it themselves, and we do not know what it's looking at. And this brings us to one of the really big problems in artificial intelligence being used, is that firstly, it is suffering from a whole bunch of things. It is not responsible or accountable or inclusive or equitable or fair or ethical or unbiased or responsive or sustainable or transparent or trustworthy. And finally, it's not explainable. And so earlier this year, we had the first case of where some AI drones were set off to kill somebody, and they found somebody. They reckoned it was that person and they killed them. The decision was made entirely by the AI. And I think we should include the three laws of robotics from Isaac Asimov, which are that an artificial intelligence must preserve its own integrity, but also must not harm a human, and also through inaction must not allow a human to come to harm. And that does not seem to be getting included in the latest AIs. But with regard to this being able to pick out what's happening with a person and what self-described race they are, we don't know, because doctors haven't been trained at this. Because when they look at an X-ray, they pick up the X-ray and they say, oh yeah, this is a 45-year-old white Caucasian female. But there's already racial biases in medicine. If you look at the people who are in clinical trials, over the last 20 years, it's changed from worldwide, this is worldwide figures, it's changed from 92% white to 85%. That's missing out a whole lot of people. It doesn't include women and racial minorities, people of color, people from outside the Europe or USA, people who are poor. And then we find other biases in there as well, where, for example, if you look at Florida, there was a county in Florida called Pinellas County, P-I-N-E-L-L-A-S, and they did blind testing of all the women who were pregnant. And they found that there was roughly similar rates, very similar rates of drug use during pregnancy for black women and white women. But the black women were tested and reported 10 times more. Well, that's a bias.
That's fascinating. But that said, as scary as it is, it could be very useful, especially in forensics, where they found bones, in archaeology. I mean, there really are wonderful applications for this.
You know? And also, also the human brain. When I was a junior medical doctor, I was in doing gastroenterology, and my boss, the registrar, said, look, Carl, I've just been asked to see this woman in emergency department. I just looked at her. I haven't talked to her. I don't like the look of her. Can you do a full, and I mean very full, admission? There's something going on. And so I went down, and there was this bubbly young woman who looked 30, who was 35, and she looked like she was in her early 20s. And she was a yoga teacher and an athlete and ate really well. And her only complaint was that she just couldn't eat as much as she used to, like the quantities were just getting smaller. And I did a full examination, and she was dead within 8 months.
Gosh.
And my boss, and so what she had was a stomach cancer. And my boss did was just look at her across the room and think, I don't know why, but there's something here I don't like. We have to look at this person very, very carefully. And so this, that skill has been picked up, and we all of us have some degree of that skill. Like, for example, how do you explain how to ride a bicycle? What, you sit there and not fall off? No, there's something going on, but you can't explain it, but you can do it.
Yeah, 100%. Dr. Carl, that is where we leave it. Thank you so much. And just thank you for answering all of our questions. And I will catch you on the radio next week with Howard. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you, Dr. Cathy. And thank you, Dr. Simon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.